Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your presence here. I pray, oh God, that that word that you have put on my heart, this message this morning, Lord God, would go forth anointed. Lord, let it find good soil of our hearts. May it just bring us to that place that, Lord, where we can be used mightily by you. And the days ahead, that we could be, that not only would we be sustained, but that, Lord God, that in these days ahead, that there, when there's that great falling away, that we may count ourselves as those that are centered, focused on that firm foundation, which is you. That, Lord, that we may walk in victory, that we may walk in that freedom that you have purposed and ordained for us to be. And so, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for this word that you have for us today. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Cause us to grow and to be your servants for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we're continuing with this series, Finding Freedom from the Prisons of Self-Centered Life. And quickly, I just want to recap where we've been. And we've been looking at this process, and it's really a process of acknowledging that first week that Satan, believe it or not, is not our worst enemy. Our worst enemy is within our own hearts, our own, that sinful nature that we all are born with is really where the problem lies. And we looked at that we have two natures. We who are saved, who are Christ's, have two natures. We have that old fallen nature. It wasn't eradicated. It wasn't cast out when we became Christians. Remember that? So we have the old nature within us. But if we are Christians, we have what? We have the nature of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. And so there's these two natures that are in battle, constant battle. And probably all of us who have been walking with the Lord knows those battles that take place daily in our life. And then we looked at, so knowing that these two natures, the battle, so what can we do? And last week we looked at this thought of knowing by experience. So it's an experience that God gives us to know that we can overcome our old nature. Amen? We can overcome that old nature through that experience of knowing what? Knowing that has been put to death through the work of Christ on the cross. And we have to know that. We have to know that it's not a head knowledge, it's an experience that we need to have. And God will give us that experience to know, to see that it has been put to death. And then there's that reckoning. That reckoning is the declaring that is past, that is done. I'm not going there. I'm not giving room to the exercise of that old nature, that fallen nature. And rather, when we reckon that we belong to Christ, and therefore the nature, the power of God is at work in our life to take us from here to here, to bring us into everything that he has for us. And we looked at that putting on Christ and taking off those grave clothes, that which is dead, that doesn't serve us. And so we looked at that. And this is all comes from our theme verse, which is in John 3:30, which says, he must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase. And throughout all this, we've been looking at that. The two thoughts. What are we allowing to be precedent in our life, to take hold in our life? Is it that old nature? Is it the fallen nature? Is it the nature of Satan that we are allowing, that we are feeding, that we are nurturing? Or is it the nature, the Spirit of God that we are allowing to come forth more and more in our life. You know, if anyone's ever read Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan's book, you know, there's a story in Pilgrim's journey through this journey that he took. He comes up to this one place where he meets a young man in an iron cage. And, you know, and he began to speak to this young man. And so this young man began to give a testimony that at one time he was an ardent evangelist, preacher, teacher of the word of Jesus Christ. And he believed in the Lord. He believed in his experience. And he was and he believed that he was going to fulfill or experience the rewards from God. And then, but as time went by, the story, his testimony was that he allowed little things to come into his life. He allowed little things to take over in his life to the point that they became bigger things. They became bigger and bigger in his life. They began to take over his life to the point where at the end, as he indulged in these little things and eventually they became stronger and stronger in his life, they overcame him. And then in the end, he said he became a sinner and did not go back to the Lord. How sad. How sad. And yet, maybe there's some of us that know people like this. I remember in Bible school, many times we would hear from our professors. They used to tell us, you know, there were students that came through this Bible school. And today, there are some of those that are not serving the Lord. And I remember just the fear of God that came upon me. It's like, wow, these are Bible school students. And yet, their beginning was good, but their ending did not end up so well. And so there's this, you know, and I think of this the scripture, our memory verse for May. Everyone memorize it yet? Yeah. I have not quite memorized. Keep your heart with all diligence. From out of it springs the issues of life. Guard your heart. And so really this, that the heart is the big issue. What is in our hearts? What are we allowing? What are we allowing to take place in our heart? And really, the overall goal that I believe that God has in this series of messages, is to guard our heart, to allow our heart to be so changed, so transformed by the Lord, that our goal is to what? To have an excellent spirit. That's what God wants in each and every one of us, to have an excellent spirit. Because it's that excellent spirit. That's what's going to keep us. It's going to take us on in our walk. It's the excellent spirit that really brings us into favor before God and before men. And Daniel 6:3 says, "Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm." Excellent spirit. That's what God desires in each and every one of us. And how do we get this? In Luke 2:52 says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." And so for a moment, I want to focus on this thought of wisdom. Wisdom from God. And the excellent spirit, it really, when it comes down to it, is a result of obtaining that wisdom from God. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is knowing how to react Wisdom's not just a head knowledge. It's just not, you know, knowing a bunch of facts. Wisdom really is knowing the knowledge that God gives us. How are we going to use it? How are we going to react to the things that are around us so that we can choose the best path? And, you know, really, life is about choices. Amen? Life is about choices. What we do with our 24 hours that God gives us a day. What do we do with the resources that God has given to us individually and as a church, as a body? What are we doing with those? And James 1, verses 5 through 7 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." And so this thought here is that God is holding out to each and every one of us wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom to walk, wisdom to be able to have that excellent spirit that he desires in each and every one of us. Because the excellent spirit will keep us. The excellent spirit that we have, that God wants to give us, that God wants to form in us, will help us to walk in this journey with him. And so this thought here is that, you know, we can choose. We can believe. It takes faith that to know that his wisdom is available to us. And by faith, we have to appropriate it. We have to say, "Lord, I am going to use your wisdom to walk out this journey, this walk in this life." You know, Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 say, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, many of our problems that we face, that we have in life, it's because we only see things very unclearly. We only see things on the surface. And many of our problems today in life is because we're trying to solve them. The world thinks that they have wisdom. They think they have all the answers. Amen? You know, many of our problems in this nation today is because people think that they have the answers for every one of us. But you know what? They do not have the wisdom from God. If they had the wisdom from God, we would not have the problems that we're facing today as a nation. And really, in the world, because it's only the wisdom of God that will really help us to walk in a way that we should. If we could see what the Lord sees, if we can see through the eyes of the Lord, I believe that a lot of our problems, maybe all of our problems, would disappear. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 26. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. And so here we just see this thought of understanding that there's two sides. You know, there's the gold and silver, those speak of that which is valuable. That's which God has allowed, that we've allowed God to refine us as gold and silver. And in comparison to the opposite, the wood and clay, which is less valuable. And that's so much of a picture of today, people, that you either allow God to work in your heart to make yourself valuable, beautiful, like silver and gold. Or we see the opposite. We see just a lot of people being tossed out as insignificant, as just rubbish, as just being used. You know, there's so many men and women who think they're wise in their own eyes, and you know, pretending that they know everything, but yet they really don't know so. And God is holding up before us that we as believers have that potential to take the wisdom of God and change and transform life. You know, those who would choose to be lifted up with the wisdom of God will be those that God will use to go and to bring people to their senses, to open up the eyes of the blind to see the truth, so that they can then begin to walk in the ways of God. So the key for us, really, is wisdom opens up the doors for us to truly be one that understands that there's an old nature that needs to be dealt with. And how do we do that? How do we deal with our old nature? Once we reckon it as dead, as we take off the grave clothes, we need to walk now in the wisdom of God. And to the degree that we allow the wisdom of God to permeate, to absorb every part of our life, as we get that wisdom, like I said, it's not knowledge, it's not something that's going to puff up our heads and make us think that we're the gift to the earth. No. Wisdom is that one that we know, walk in this way. It's wisdom of God is going to allow us to know and to hear God's voice and to know, stay away from here, walk this way. And to walk in the perfect will, the perfect purposes of God. And ultimately, it's the wisdom of God that will allow each and every one of us to have that excellent spirit. You know, the excellent spirit, in closing, what does it mean to have an excellent spirit? Having an excellent spirit is someone that no longer struggles with anger. There's no more complaining in their lives, because they know they're so focused, they're so concentrated on the Lord. You know, there's no more unforgiveness in their life, because they know that God has forgiven them for so much more. You know, it's an excellent spirit is one that has the fruits of the Spirit, is kind, gentle, loving, self-control, understanding of the ways of the Lord, tolerant of people. None of us are perfect, folks. Amen? Anyone perfect here? Being tolerant of people that are at different levels in their walk, different places in life, and having gone through difficult in different situations in life, being tolerant. How many of you want to have that excellent spirit from the Lord? God is holding that out to each and every one of us. But the only way we can truly allow that excellent spirit to be developed in our life, to come forth in our life, is this process that I've been laying out in this. We have to reckon with that old nature, because that old nature stands in the way of receiving and allowing God to form that excellent spirit in us. Because, coming back to that theme verse, I must decrease. It's not an option for any of us. I must decrease so that Christ, His Spirit, His power, His wisdom might increase in me. And to the degree that we allow Him to rise up, to increase in us, will be the degree that we have more and more wisdom to walk this life and to allow that excellent spirit. There is no option, folks, because in the days ahead, when what the Lord has shown me, in the days that are ahead, if we don't have this excellent spirit, like that pilgrim and the man that he encountered, there will be those that will fall away because their nature, that old nature, was allowed to come forth. We need more than ever the wisdom of God to navigate today's world and what's coming down the road ahead of us. We need the wisdom of God. And so I commend this to all of you to follow, to take this process very seriously in your life and allow God to deal, allow God to decrease that old nature, that fallen nature within us, so that His nature, His Spirit, excellent Spirit, would increase in us.